And we're going to read together. If you brought your Bible, that is awesome. I'm not going to read from my Bible because my eyes are 45 years old and I get stressed out. So I'm going to read from my iPad and make the font bigger. Anybody else agree with me? Anybody? Yeah. It'll happen to all of you. You can judge me all you want, but your day is coming. Luke 8. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Now let's look at John 20, verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. This is Mary Magdalene again. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Let's pray over the word. God, thank you so much that there's power in your word. And Lord, we just give the next few minutes to you, asking you to speak to our hearts. And we ask to do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go ahead and be seated this morning. Today, we're going to look at Mary Magdalene and the transformation that happened in her life. Magdalene is not her last name. She's actually from a small village called Magdala. And if you've been on one of our Israel trips, you've had the opportunity to go. It's probably my favorite stop every single time we go to the Holy Land. And it's just this beautiful little village in the Galilee area. And Mary had an incredible encounter with Jesus. There are a lot of Marys in the New Testament, and if you're newer to faith or newer to diving into scripture, you can easily get a little confused and think, wow, Mary's doing a whole lot of things, but there's a lot of Marys, so I'm gonna kind of just like decipher some of this. There's Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary of Bethany, that would be the sister to Lazarus that Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth," that's that Mary. Mary, the mother of James the Younger, Mary, the mother of John Mark, Mary of Rome, and then there's Mary Magdalene. There's a lot of misconceptions about Mary Magdalene. I mean, ridiculous things like it was Jesus' girlfriend. That is not true. You can laugh at that. We should laugh at that. That was not true. But what we do know about Mary we want to look at today, we find in scripture just a few things. I'm going to go through seven things we know for sure about her. The first is this, that she was delivered of seven demons. When Jesus found Mary, she was bound and possessed by seven demons. We don't know details of what got her into this position. We don't know what happened in her life. We know nothing except what the scripture says, that she was bound by seven demons. And it's interesting because in scripture, a lot of times the number seven signifies complete. So we know she was completely bound, that Satan had completely had her in captivity, and she was miserable and broken when Jesus found her. The next thing we know is that she helped to support Jesus. These women, the Bible said, we just read this, they supported Jesus out of their own means. So Mary was awesome because she was one of the first kingdom builders. Mary was awesome. She and these women were willing to give their own money, their own resources to make sure the ministry of Jesus happened, which I think is pretty incredible. So Mary, after her transformation, is so generous. She's like, "I'm going to make sure the ministry of Jesus happens." Out of her own money, she supported the ministry of Jesus. Number three, she was a devoted follower. She's talked about more than any other woman that followed Jesus. Mary was just there. I mean, everywhere Jesus went, Mary was following. When it lists that everyone that was at certain occasions in the Bible or different miracles, it's all, Mary's always there. Don't you love people like that? Every time the doors are open at church, they're just there. Every time you need them to serve, they're just there. I know a couple of people like that. Don't you love people who were just there? That was Mary. She was just there. Mary was a devoted follower of Jesus. Number four, she was more faithful than the disciples. At the cross, when you couldn't find many of the disciples, they were running and hiding. Mary was there. She was there. Matthew 27 says, many women were there at the cross watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Mary was faithful. She was that steady, faithful type. She didn't have to announce like Peter, Lord, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. No, she just didn't. You know, people like that, they're like, we joke a lot about this. If a church member comes to us and says, we'll never leave Citizen Church, we're like, give them 2 weeks. People that have to announce their faithfulness usually are not the most faithful, but it's those steady people that don't have to announce their faithfulness. They're just there. That was Mary. Mary was more faithful than the rest of the disciples. She just showed up. She was just always there. Mary was first at the resurrection. Let's read Matthew 28:1. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. I mean, the crack of dawn, there's Mary. She wanted to see what's gonna happen, where's Jesus? She knew there had to be more to this story. What is, I wanna be there. I wanna be there the next morning and see, did Jesus rise from the dead? She was curious and she was there first of the resurrection. I love the anticipation that she had, or the curiosity. What is Jesus up to? Her faith made her first that morning. Number six, she's known as the first evangelist after the resurrection. I love that. John 20. Jesus said to her, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Here it goes. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. The very first evangelist after Jesus was resurrected was Mary, and Jesus commissions her. She was ready. I'll go share the news. I'll do anything you ask me to do. She was an evangelist, and I love this about Mary. She was ready to spread the good news on behalf of Jesus. Man, he did a powerful work in her life. She came a long ways from when he found her, and that's number seven. She was a long way from an evangelist when Jesus found her. She didn't look like a kingdom builder or an evangelist when Jesus found her. She was broken. She was tormented. She was disregarded by society. She was an outcast. And Mary suffered from mental and physical and spiritual anxiety because Satan was tormenting her. She was a long way from an evangelist when Jesus found her. I'm grateful that Jesus does not leave me the way he finds me. He didn't leave you the way he found you. Aren't you grateful for that? He doesn't see where you are. He sees where you need to be and where he wants to take you. And that's what he saw in Mary. He took her from a broken mess of a woman. And he made her into an evangelist, a kingdom builder, a devoted, committed disciple of Jesus, a committed follower. That's what he can do with you too. If you will trust in him, if you will look to him, he can do so much more with you than you could ever, ever imagine. And during this series, we've had the opportunity to partner with the TV series, The Chosen. And I think out of all of the clips, this is one of my favorite episodes of Jesus' encounter with Mary Magdalene. So I want you to take a look at this clip.
the word and the light, chased away the darkness, did the same for my soul. You split the seas, came for me, you keep every promise, your purpose will unfold. Even the rocks cry out, even the mountains bow, all creation shouts your name.
There was a moment when Mary experienced Jesus as deliverer. That's the title of today's message, Jesus the Deliverer. What a strong word, deliverance. It speaks of action and strength and power. Another word for deliverance would be rescue. Another great word that's a picture of what all of us have experienced through the power of the gospel. Isn't that the gospel? When Jesus comes to us, when we cannot get out of a situation on our own, when we are bound by sin, and when there's literally nothing we can do on our own, but he comes with his rescuing power, that is the gospel. That's who he is. He's the deliverer. He's the rescuer. He wants to rescue you today if you need to see him as a deliverer. He is in the room today. And I know that there are people here today that it could be that no one around you knows that you are bound by something, that you can't break free. And that is the thing with addiction and secret sin, is that you feel like you'll never break free. And I just want to encourage you this morning, if that is you, and the silent cry of your heart is, I just want to be free. I just want to break out of this. The rescuer, the deliverer is here. And he will set you free. He still sets people free. That is not something just for the Bible times. That is not something that happened just years ago. And then here we are today crying out for a rescuer and he's nowhere to be found. No, he still sets people free. And I want you to hang on to that today. He can set you free out of the bondage you're in, the impossible situation that you can't get yourself out of. He is here to set you free. Statistics which tell us that even in the church, even in a room like this or at North Campus, there are people who are struggling with things that they can't break free of. There are people struggling with pornography. You hate that you keep going back to those sites. You hate that this is something that's a part of your secret life. You want to break free. There are people that are struggling with addiction, alcohol addiction, drug addiction. There are people who are struggling with unhealed trauma. They can't break free of it. They can't break free of mentalities from their family that are not good. Like, I don't want to think how I was raised. I can't break free of these mentalities. You can break free. You can break free. And maybe some of those things sound a little serious, like, oh, no, I would never deal with any of that. But some of you are so, so full of bitterness that you cannot let go of this unforgiveness, and it is hindering you from the purpose and the plan of God on your life. You won't let go of it. You won't let God take care of it. You're holding on to it. But there is freedom for you today if you will let go of it and let Jesus heal you. That's what deliverance is. It's healing. Let him heal you of the past and your brokenness and what you've gone through. Jesus is here to rescue. Isaiah 46:4 says, I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. He will do it today if you will call on his name. And if I'm honest with you, when I was like studying for this message and trying to prepare, I was really getting frustrated. And I just had to really wrestle through it. I mean, wrestle through it. And I think if you're a communicator or preacher, you know what I'm talking about. You just, every subject, you get in there and you're like, I've got to wrestle through this thing. And one reason is that addiction has definitely impacted my family before. And then you see people who want to be free and it seems like they're not being delivered, and there's people who are set free and then they go back to the same horrible patterns and habits. And anybody else with me, or am I alone in this? You just struggle with this whole thing of, does Jesus still deliver? And I really feel like I was just studying and just, I don't know, almost annoyed. I called Dustin and said, I'm annoyed by this whole thing because I couldn't wrap my mind around. I couldn't settle it in my heart. And I believe that the Holy Spirit spoke something to me and I hope it helps you today. And it's this: your freedom comes from two things, your identity in Jesus and your proximity to Jesus. It comes down to two things, your identity and your proximity, how you see yourself and how you know God sees you, and then your proximity to him, your willingness to stay close to him. So that's what we're gonna look at over the next few minutes. Mary's encounter with Jesus shows us two things. First of all, if you want to be free, let Jesus define your identity. Let Jesus define your identity. See, Mary's reputation and her identity was brokenness. Everywhere she went, she was known as the woman who was bound by demons, who was broken, who was confused, who was mentally just not stable. This was her reputation. This was what her identity was. And I don't know how she got in this place. I don't know if it was trauma from her past. The TV series kind of builds a picture of what it could have been, that maybe there was some sort of abuse in her past and she was trying to find healing, but she was finding herself, the more she would search for healing in other things besides Jesus, she was on this downward spiral and she was getting more and more bound because she was trying to find healing in something else. If that's you, don't be afraid. God is here and he can heal you and he can set you free. Many times those who are bound by addiction are just trying to find healing. We know that to be true. The demons were controlling her and destroying her. And this is what we know, that Satan's intention for your life is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he wants to do. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy, and he wants you to believe his lies, that this is who you are. You are addicted. You are broken. You are a victim of abuse. That is who you are. Satan wants you to believe that about yourself. But let Jesus speak your true identity over you. You're a child of God. You have purpose. You have a destiny. There's a calling on your life. There's an anointing on you. You got to stir up the gift of God in you and reject the lies of the enemy. He is a liar. Satan wants to humiliate, but Jesus restores dignity. I love that. How many know at the end of every sinful road, it's humiliation? Satan will tell you the lies. This is going to make you feel better. This is going to solve all your problems if you will just do these certain things. But at the end of the road, at the end of all of these destructive patterns, it's just humiliation. And you find yourself humiliated at the end of it. But I want to tell you that Jesus, he sees you in that place and he doesn't see your brokenness. No, he wants to restore your dignity and he wants to call you up to a higher level. Say, that is not who you are. That is not who I created you to be. You are something so much more. Jesus had compassion on her and saw beneath the layers, saw who she was created to be. The passage that was quoted in that clip with the music. I mean, chill bumps every time, right? I'm gonna read it, but it's not gonna have the music. Isaiah 43:1, but now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. You have to believe that today. You are his. He created you. And your creator is the only one who knows who you really are and who you were always meant to be. It's only your creator. Culture can't tell you that. Your friends can't tell you that. Your parents can't even tell you that unless they're speaking the word of God over you, right? Only your creator knows who you really are. Deep down, who you really are and who you were created to be. Let him define your identity. See, Jesus brings stability when you see yourself as unstable. He brings stability when you feel like I am the most unstable person. Romans 16:25 says, now to him who is able to establish you. That word establish is sterizo. This Greek word signifies the act of placing something firmly in a location, making it stable and secure. And you might be here today and say, those are two words I would never use to describe myself. Stable and secure. Now to him who is able to establish you. Now to him who is able to make you stable and secure. Come on, can I speak that over you today? You are stable and you are secure in Jesus. You're not unstable. I know it feels like your life is like this. Don't let Jesus bring stability to your life. He can pull you up out of the miry clay, set your feet on a rock, and establish your steps. That is the God that we serve. Let Jesus define your identity. Another thing we learned from her encounter with Jesus is this. If you want to stay free, stay in close proximity to Jesus. I know you want to get free, but I don't want to just get free. I want to stay free. And so many people will have an encounter with Jesus, have a moment at the altar, have a moment at the end of service where you lift your hand and you have this moment where Jesus sets you free. But then weeks go by, days go by, and you find yourself right back in the place you were. And I want to speak to you today on how to stay free. How do you stay free? See, Mary followed Jesus closely. She was everywhere he went. And I believe it's because Mary knew that her way did not work. Mary's way let her down. Her way led her deeper and deeper and deeper into bondage and captivity. So she knew, I have to stay close. I want to stay close. I want to stay free. There's something about being in the presence of Jesus all the time. Mary understood this. And she wanted to stay free. Some might say that's weakness, but I call that wisdom. You're not weak if you understand you need to be in the presence of God every day. You're wise. I need him. I need him every day. I don't want to just get free. I want to stay free. I want to stay free. I had a friend in Alabama that went to a church that I was on staff there years ago. She was a recovering addict, and I noticed she was really an amazing woman. And every service, she was just, I mean, the biggest worshiper and the most amazing. Every time the doors were open, Sandy was there. And she was so passionate and so committed to God. And I would just watch her, and one day I just said, Sandy, talk to me about this. Like, I love your passion. I love this. And she says, Mandy, she was so Southern. She goes, Mandy, I know myself. I was addicted to heroin for a long time. I know what I'm like on my own. She said, I've got to stay close. I never forgot that conversation. She said, if I want to stay free, I've got to stay close. If I want to stay free, I'm going to cling to Jesus. I'm going to cling to him if I want to stay free. This is an amazing truth. Jesus doesn't leave you powerless. He doesn't leave you powerless. I think we look at Mary and we're like, wow, that must be nice. She just followed Jesus everywhere he went. And who couldn't stay free if you just followed him everywhere? Like, that's easy. I'll just trail Jesus. But we can't. Jesus actually does not leave you powerless. Jesus says, I'm going to ascend to the Father, but I'm going to leave you my Holy Spirit. And it is the power that you need to overcome. If you will just be connected to the Holy Spirit, if you will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I think that is something for someone today right now. You have been dealing with addiction, and you have been back and forth, or unforgiveness, back and forth, and you can't stay free. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need him to fill you, to empower you to live the way you want to. He has given you his power, and it is more than enough. It is the resource of heaven to keep you free. You don't have to go back. You can stay free through the power of the Holy Spirit. When you feel like you can't live a godly life, like you just can't do this on your own, you need to look at 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. I'm going to read that again. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Everything that you need is found in him. You can't do it on your own. Nobody can. Nobody can. You can't live a godly life on your own. You need to be connected to the vine. You need to be connected to the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled every single day with his Spirit. If you want to stay free, you need him. When you don't feel like pleasing God, anybody ever been there? I don't even feel like pleasing God today. I feel like just doing what I want. Maybe you should read Philippians 2:13. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. It's one of my favorite verses. He'll give you the desire and the power. The desire and the power. If you don't just feel like it, that's okay. Get connected to him. He will put in you the desires that you need, and he will give you the power that you need to live the life that he's always wanted you to live. You can overcome. He'll give you the desire and the power. When you're struggling with temptation and you just feel like, man, I can't do this. This is hard. I don't have the self-discipline that it takes. 2 Timothy 1:7, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. That's the power of God. He will give you self-discipline. Anybody else need self-discipline in your life? Me. That comes through the resource of the Holy Spirit. He can give you exactly what you need to live the life you've always wanted to live. You just can't do it on your own. Can't do it. Jesus breaks destructive cycles in your life when you drop what you're dependent on. What are you dependent on? I love the depiction of Mary in this clip that we watched, how she's holding on to the thing that she was dependent on. It was the very thing that she thought would numb the pain. It was a thing she was looking to because she couldn't face the brokenness of her life on her own. She was so messed up. She was so tormented mentally. So she would go to the only thing she knew, and she was dependent on this. But when Mary was willing to drop what she was dependent on, when she dropped it, I won't drop it, don't worry. It would probably not, but it wouldn't break and then it would be embarrassing. When Mary dropped what she was dependent on, it was then that she experienced the power of God. if you are willing to drop the things, I don't know what you're dependent on today. I don't know what you've been looking to maybe numb your pain or make you forget or just get you through the next day. I don't know what you've been holding on to. I can tell you this, if you'll take a step of faith and you will drop the thing that you're dependent on and you will grab a hold of Jesus and get in his presence, you will experience freedom. You'll experience freedom. Doesn't this happen a lot in the Bible? When Jesus comes to someone, he says, drop what you have and let's go. When he meets his disciples, he goes to them and he says, drop your nets and let's go change the world. Drop what you're dependent on, the thing that gives you money, the thing that is sustaining you, or so you think, and let me sustain you. Let's go change the world, guys. Come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. When Jesus meets the woman at the well, he meets with her and had this amazing moment. And what does she do? She has this water pot in her hand and she drops her water pot, the Bible says. She drops it and she takes off running and she leads her entire village to Jesus. She drops what she's dependent on and then she steps into the purpose and the calling of God. You need to drop what you are currently dependent on and step into the promise and the fulfillment that God has for you. What he has for you is so much greater than anything you're holding on to. How about Jesus with the rich young ruler? He tells him, you're gonna have to let go of the thing that you think is sustaining you. And he was not willing to do it. He's like, nope, I really, really love my money. I really, really love this. And he was such a fool to think that his money was gonna satisfy him more than Jesus would. He was holding on to a thing. No, I've got everything I need. I like you, Jesus. I think you're cool and I think you do some great miracles, but I don't need you, Jesus. But we all need Jesus. And you need to let go of the thing that you're dependent on. I promise you, you're gonna leave this place and you're gonna be dissatisfied for the rest of your life. If you keep holding on to these things, that will never satisfy you. Only Jesus will satisfy you. Only Jesus can fulfill the brokenness in your life. Only Jesus. It is only him. You've gotta let go. You've gotta let go. Psalm 62:5 says this, I depend on God alone. I put my hope in him. He alone protects and saves me. He is my defender. I love this. And I shall never be defeated. I depend on God alone. He is my resource. He's my supply. He's everything I need. He's the one. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what has you bound. I don't know if this is a secret and you don't want to tell anybody else around you. But today could be a day of freedom for you. This could be a day of freedom for you. Will you bow your heads just a moment? I just really sense the presence of God here today. I'm going to pray for two groups of people. Firstly, I want to talk to those who you've never accepted Christ, and that's your first step to freedom for sure. You don't know Jesus, and you want to start a life with him. And you have just been searching and searching for something to fix you. But nothing's working. The healer is here. And Jesus wants to do a work in your life. So if that is you today and you want to accept Jesus and you want to walk into a new life with him, on a count of three, would you just lift your hand, just signifying that's me, just taking a step of just saying, this is me. I want to raise my hand, showing God I'm really serious about this. I want a new life. If that's you, one, two, three. If that's you, you want a new life in Jesus, go ahead and lift your hand. It's a new day. It's a new day. His mercies are new every morning. Amazing. So great. If you're at North Campus, same thing for you. I know there's staff there and people there, a prayer team that can pray with you. God wants to meet you where you are today. The second group of people is just someone where maybe you've known Jesus, you've had an experience with him in the past, but you have found yourself in a place of just being bound by something, and you want to walk out of here free, and you want to stay free. If that is you today, would you just lift your hand as well? There's freedom in the house. There's freedom in this place. Thank you so much. So many hands going up. So many people. Today is a day of freedom for you. I believe that. I believe that. Would you stand with me, everyone? Let's pray together. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Can we all just stretch our hands out and just receive from him? Lord, we pray first of all for those who lifted their hand wanting to receive you, God. I pray that right now, as they are confessing you are Lord of their lives, God, that a transformation would begin to take place and that they would be able to walk in freedom, Lord. Thank you, God, that the old is gone and the new has come. That we don't have to be defined by our past, but we can look at the future that you have for us. Thank you, Lord, that you call us sons and daughters. We love you. Thank you, Lord, that there's still power in the gospel. And you still save and you still deliver. We thank you, God, for that. Lord, I pray for those today who find themselves in a place of bondage and they just can't break free, Lord. We look to you, God. Help us to let go of the things that we're dependent on and to cling to you in your spirit, your presence, making a fresh commitment. God, we're going to stay free. We're not just going to be set free and then go right back. We want to stay free. We're committed to staying in your presence, committed to getting to know who you are, committed to staying close. We love and honor you, Jesus. You are worthy of all of our praise. You are Jesus, the deliverer. That is who you are. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, can we give him praise this morning?